Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 11 o'clock hour, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a great Thursday so far. As we are moving right along here, we say hello to Corey Curtis, sports director at News 2. Corey, how you doing?
I am adequate today, fellas. How are you?
I like that, adequate. That is a good way to put it. That's how I'm feeling as well. How are the Titans, though? Are they going to be adequate when it comes to taking on the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday at Nissan Stadium? I'll start with Taylor Lewan. It's not looking very good for the Titans' left tackle, and with the offensive line woes that they already have, how big of a blow is that?
Well, look, going into the season, when people ask me about this team and they ask me my biggest concerns, it was the offensive line. And, you know, it was the offensive line of could it come together? Were the right tackle and left guard going to be good enough? Because we had to see who that was going to be. But then the other thing was, could Taylor Lewan and Ben Jones at this point in their career hold up for an entire season? I mean, those were concerns. And then the concern on top of that was the lack of depth and commitment to bringing in depth behind them. I mean, it just didn't appear to be there. I know they brought in Jamarco Jones, but he's barely practiced since he's been here. And then, you know, Dylan Radins was all but handed the right tackle job and couldn't win it. And still they haven't seemingly addressed what's behind it. And, you know, we all tend to think the sky is falling when it's not. You know, they adapt.
Not
they
us.
Overcome, and we saw it last year, you know, where they went through 91 players. But, you know, when you see what was a concern and you say, what if, you know, all summer long, and all of a sudden you're in week three and what if is upon you, it's concerning.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I think Mike Vrabel, if you have a chance at anything of turning this around, you have the best chance because you have Mike Vrabel as the head coach, the defending coach of the year. I just don't, and Derek's been saying this too, I just don't know if this team is deep enough for them to be able to do that like they did last year, because you're not going to find the depth that you need at this point in the season off the street.
Well, eventually failed draft picks come back to haunt you. And the Isaiah Wilson pick and the Dylan Radins pick, you know, those are first and second round picks. Those guys not only should be, you know, contributing, they should be starting and they should be good players. They should be foundational pieces for you, really. And the fact that you don't even want to put them on the field, and one of them is not even in football anymore, you know, that hurts because you can't pay everybody. You know, you can't just go and buy a team full of free agents. That's not how it works because you can't afford everybody. And so, you know, like I said, you did it last year with 91 guys, and you brought in guys, and you mix and you match, and you make it work. It doesn't always work like that. Now, we'll see what they can come up with, because they're going to have to pull some rabbits out of some hats here to make it happen.
Corey, the question I want to ask you quickly before I get into my two major ones. Had this team beat Cincinnati last year, gotten to the AFC Championship game, won that, and they didn't even have to win the Super Bowl, do you think they would have been more aggressive at signing A.J. Brown than they were?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. You know, look, they didn't want to trade A.J. Brown. I mean, you could see the pains on their faces when they did it. I think the way negotiations went really rubbed them the wrong way. I don't think it was entirely about money. I think it was the way things went. You know, when you come up in your price and then somebody comes back and comes up higher in their ask, that's not the way negotiations normally go. And I think that they were taken back by it, and bothered by it enough to say that we're going to move on and see what we can do. And we can argue all day whether it was the right decision or the wrong decision. I always say you don't get better by getting rid of good players, and A.J. Brown is obviously an excellent player. But he's not without warts. I mean, doesn't have the warts that a lot of people have, but he's got some concerns. but he's a fantastic player. You know, when you started asking that question, I thought you were going to ask about Roger Saffold.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can say Roger Saffold too.
Would you find a way to bring him back? You know, because like when you were here, they kicked the can down the road until they got into an unsustainable portion with the cap because they kept pushing guys forward. And, I don't think John wanted to get into that trap, and understandably so. But when you think you're knocking on the door, you have to do it. But John also comes, from New England, where you say goodbye to guys a year too soon rather than a year too late. And, you saw, but going into the season, we saw Saffold breaking down. Mm-hmm. You saw it Monday night, he went down. it seemed like every game, and like every game, Ben Jones went down. We know the injury situation Taylor Lewan has had. And I think they felt like they couldn't go in with all three of those guys possibly breaking down at the prices that they're paying them. So, I kind of knew I thought it was Lewan or Saffold who was going to go, and it's usually easier to replace a guard than a tackle. And I know that's not your question at all. But but the bigger question is do they try to kick the can down the road if they're closer to the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. And I think it goes beyond that. I think if Tannehill plays better in that game and you win, I think you might feel like you're closer. But I still think you've got questions about, they may not say they do, but I do, if he's the guy who can get you through the playoffs.
Now, you talked about the offensive line depth, and we've been talking about that since training camp and them not being able to, well, they thought they addressed it, but then come to find out the guys that they drafted, they missed on them on the evaluation. But I can also, say that with the cornerback position, which was my question mark beside the offensive line because of the lack of experience. Even though Christian Fulton is a good player, but he lacks the experience. And then not only the experience, I mean, you're drafting guys that, hadn't played and then you don't have any depth behind them. And it's coming, full circle for them with this cornerback position.
Well, they drafted Roger McCreary this year, and he's arguably their best one right now. Mm-hmm. And, you felt good with McCreary and Fulton, but what do we know about Fulton as well? He's been injury prone in his two seasons, and here he's dinged again. And so I think when Screen retired, not that he was a blockbuster player, but you could put him out there and feel good about it. Mm-hmm. I think that was a blow to their depth. And, again, the thing about Caleb Farley is he just hasn't played that much football and at that position. And so there's going to be some learning curve. And so, you lose Screen and now you lose Fulton for we don't know how long. Suddenly you're put in a spot against arguably the best team in football where they're going to take advantage of everything that they can and he's getting exposed a little bit. They lost two guys who were supposed to help. And then Chris Jackson's been here for years, a few years, and he's been a guy who's been able to fill in. And he's injured all preseason, and now he's injured again in IR. So, they're down three guys, all right? If you count Screen, they're down three of what was like their top five. And so, we're 3 weeks into the season, and you're already tapping the waiver wire trying to fill bodies, and I don't know where we are on the way to 91, but I feel like we got a healthy head start.
The record's in jeopardy, you're saying. Yeah, that's a tough hand, no doubt. And you every day there's movement grabbing somebody off of somebody. It seems like there's a lot more people being grabbed off of other people's practice squads to put on the Titans than vice versa, although they did lose a guy today and pick up another.
They've lost two. And they lost two outside linebackers, which is a spot where they need people.
That's where they need.
They lost a Ninny, and then they lost Tech McKinley. One's with the Steelers now, one's with the Rams, and they're a little thin there.
Mm. Corey Curtis is with us. So, Corey, what do you think, what are the key matchups in your mind? Where do the Titans have a good matchup against the Raiders? Where can they maybe find some traction?
That's a great question.
Because that's what they need, right? They, I mean, we know the weaknesses for the Titans. They're all over the place. But what
coaching?
Well, let's just start with what they want to do, right? Can they start doing their thing in the running game to get some things going offensively? It all starts. They've got to have Derrick Henry run the ball well if other things are going to fall into place.
Well, that's where I was going to go first. When you look at an offensive line and bringing an offensive line together, it's a lot easier to move forward than it is to move backwards, okay? And Mike Vrabel talked about it on Monday, that they need to get better at doing less things, all right? And what that means is we're not going to worry about the whole playbook. We're going to go back to our core of stuff, and we're going to do that well. And once we do that well, we'll expand on it. And so what have they done well in the past? They've run the football. Okay, and so, you know, when you're trying to pass block a Max Crosby and a Chandler Jones, that's tough for anybody. That's tough for Taylor Lewan. It's tough for Nicholas Petit-Frere. But the best way that I've always said to handle a pass rusher is to run the football right at him. And, you know, put your pads in him and start pushing him backwards. And that's the direction offensive linemen like to go. So I think it benefits the Titans, and I think it benefits the offensive line, and of course Derrick Henry, if they focus this game on moving forward. And I think that's what they're going to do. You know, they've also got to get some speed back. And Dontrell Hilliard, you know, when his speed left the offense, I think it made a difference. And I don't know that he'll be back this week. But so I do look for them to try to run the ball at them. I also don't think that Raiders offensive line is outstanding. I mean, they've had their own whiffs in the draft in that department as well. The problem is for the Titans is, do you have the guys on the edges to take advantage of them? Because you don't have Harold Landry, and now you don't have Bud Dupree, who knows for how long. I mean, that's over $30 million in players. I mean, just stack up the numbers here. You know, you've got Harold Landry and Bud Dupree and Taylor Lewan all down. You're down like $45 million of your cap on three guys who are all hurt. It's really crippling and really devastating when you're looking at where you want to take advantage of, because these are guys that are supposed to be your core guys. So once again, you've got to look to Jeffrey Simmons and Denico Autry. And so I'm going to look for them to use Autry on the outside to try to find some good matchups for him while Simmons tries to blow up things on the interior and probably takes on two or three blockers at a time. You know, and Waller's a good player. A really good player. The Titans have handled tight ends reasonably well in the past. We'll see if they can do that again. But I think the big thing is does Devontae Adams just absolutely torch them the way Stephon Diggs did? That's one of the things I'm watching first and foremost. How do the Titans handle Devontae Adams? Do they stick Roger McCreary on him, or do they just rotate along?
Real quick, Corey, before we let you go, do you think Josh Gordon is getting closer to being in the plans, or is he getting closer to them saying, look, he's not
talking about this?
Well, I mean,
I knew that was coming.
Let's move on then. If he's not going to be in the plans, it's time to move on, right? That's what I'm saying. Is he closer to getting in or closer to just moving on? This was a nice try.
Guys, do you know how many 1,000 years Josh Gordon has had?
Yeah, one.
One.
Yeah.
One. Do you know how many years ago that was?
Like 25.
It was 9. You were still playing, okay?
But, Corey.
You were still playing.
But, Corey, I totally get that, right? Anybody who looks back to that year and has anything, that is ancient history. I agree. But this is a guy that averages about 17, 18 yards a catch, even as recently as the last time he played, right? It's a role, right?
How many
it's a guy.
Are we talking about?
Well, his career, he averages 17 yards a catch.
Like 5 years.
Well,
I mean, he couldn't do it in Kansas City with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Andy Reid's arguably the best offensive mind in the last 10 years, 15, 20 years.
So you're saying they should cut him?
Use him.
You're saying that they should come.
I don't understand it, and I don't understand the infatuation with it. Because if he was that good and he was still that player, he would be out there being that player, and he wouldn't have been on a practice squad to begin with. Okay, so we keep wondering: can they catch lightning in a bottle? Can they have him find the fountain of middle age? No, No, because he's been trying to come back for years. People keep giving. And look, I don't hate Josh Gordon. I hope he goes out and catches 250 yards and 7 touchdowns on Sunday. I do. But I think to keep looking at this and hoping that this is the magic elixir for the Titans is ridiculous. It's absurd. I'd rather have Nick Westbrook-Akeen out there. He caught 50 passes.
But do you understand, though, Nick Westbrook-Akeen, we know, is not a guy that is going to stretch the defense. Josh Gordon isn't either.
He hasn't been in a decade.
That's not true. 2019, he had 16 yards a catch. That's not that
How
far
many
ago.
27. How many catches?
27. 27.
Okay, you're talking about 1.1 catches per game.
I'm saying when he has played
3 years ago. How many years?
But okay, now we're down to 3 years. You said 10 years ago. Now we're down to 3 years ago.
You said 27 catches, Willie.
Yes,
27. That's 1.1 catches per game.
I'm just saying his skill set. He can stretch the defense.
Factor. Bring in Will Fuller.
I was just about to say.
Don't go down that route, Corey. It's just as bad as Josh Gordon.
Years are a heck of a lot better.
I know, but you're going down this road of injured guys, and eventually, it's going to be at the doorstep of John Robinson.
I agree with you completely. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100% that you can't go down the doorstep of all these injured guys. My point is this. Mm-hmm. He is a more productive player.
You've seen it more. Yeah, I get that part.
Josh Gordon. That is my only point. We kept waiting all preseason and all training camp for them to bring in another veteran receiver. They did not do it. And so here we are again.
But they know some things now that they didn't know a few weeks ago.
What, they didn't know that injuries happen?
I think it's pretty certain they're in dire need of trying something at the wide receiver position.
They didn't know they needed help at receiver. They didn't know they needed help at offensive line. They didn't know they needed help in the secondary.
I don't know how they didn't know these things. You have to know. I mean, mm-hmm. Look, when you see JaMarco Jones can't stay healthy, and when you see when you see those guys can't win the jobs, eventually you just have to say, you can't just sit there and cover up a mistake. Eventually, and it's like Isaiah Wilson. They owned up to that mistake, and they owned up to it quickly. And eventually you just have to own up to a mistake and say, we got to have somebody in here who can help us win. And, mm-hmm. Maybe Dylan Raiden's magically winds up being that guy, but he had all summer to prove he could be that guy, and he hasn't done it. I mean, look, every GM has hits and misses, all right? Every one of them. And I've always tried to say that, even through John Robinson's successes, I'm like, this is covering up some pretty monumental errors, and he's fortunate for it, because the moment you start losing, now everybody looks at it for what it is and says, well, he hit on these, but he missed on these. We really could have used these right now. And, you can't pretend like those mistakes didn't happen just because you've won some games. You got to stay on it.
Yeah, well, good stuff, Corey. Good conversation. We'll see how it all turns out on Sunday, and appreciate you doing this. We'll talk soon.
All right, just for you guys, I'm going to pick up Josh Gordon off the waiver wire, because I'm fairly certain he's there. I'm fairly certain he's available in all formats, and I'm going to plug him into my lineup.
If he
catches 1.1 passes for 17 yards.
If you're in a 20-team fantasy league, then that might be a good play.
We'll see you, Corey. Thanks.
Later, guys.
Yep. Corey Curtis, sports director at News 2, joining us. Coming up next, maybe hear from Derrick Henry. We'll discuss some of that a little bit on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.